diversity, innovation, and canned soup.
In light of a number of somewhat braying articles in the mainstream media suggesting excessive wokeism is rife within the military, it seemed an opportune moment to investigate many of the claims of defence surrounding the topic of diversity and inclusion. By and large, there are now two common uses of the term diversity. The first, more traditional usage is an indication of variety, used such as when highlighting the unrivaled diversity of life within the Amazon rainforest, or the splendid diversity of Heinz current soup range. The second, superficial definition, employed more formally by defence within this context, refers to an action, being the recognition of differences between individuals or groups. In relation to this latter definition, a second element is attached, that of inclusion, which the organisation characterises as the effect of good diversity management ensuring that all individuals, no matter what their unique differences, feel they belong and are therein able to contribute effectively to the wider team. A prudent step, given that recognition alone without action would amount to no change. Combined, diversity and inclusion within this context therefore seek to optimise the relationships through inclusion between all the members of the force, based off understanding and acknowledgement of each individual's identified differences, diversity. In this sense, diversity is seen as a start state and inclusion a vehicle of action by which to optimise it. Challenges. This dual meaning of the word presents challenges when discussing diversity, as the two meanings are frequently conflated or employed as if synonymous, which they are clearly not. For the sake of clarity, this article almost exclusively refers to diversity in the traditional sense, referring to the prevalence of numerous assorted entities. The defence diversity and inclusion vision sees defence harnessing the power of difference to deliver capability that safeguards our nation. In so doing, defence relies upon variation to exploit a fundamental assumption that difference, traditional diversity, is powerful, beneficial. This assumption is frequently ruled out within the often used sentiment, or indeed statement, that diverse teams produce better results, that diversity and inclusion are operationally essential, or any of the other combinations of similar words to the same effect. The benefits of diversity. This article investigates the veracity of that assumption, finding, as one might expect, that it's a bit more complicated than that, and that actually, poorly managed diversity can be a net negative. In so doing, a large number of academic studies have been interrogated to form this image, spanning numerous categories of diversity, including race, sex, ability, age, culture, cognition, education, and nationality. In making a generalized and reductive summary, the author acknowledges that some nuance between specific groups will inevitably be lost, however, has endeavored to summarize the literature fairly thus. There are many, many benefits of diversity within teams, but also numerous downsides that should not be ignored. Most significantly, diverse teams typically outperform homogeneous groups in finding optimal solutions to complex problems, especially those that require creative or innovative solutions. Whilst this sounds ideal, you still have to pay the piper somewhere, and the compromise is that the more diverse a team, the less effectively it communicates. Finding the sweet spot can be challenging. Extremely diverse teams, being less cohesive and less coherent, are harder to control, and often take longer conducting both complex and simple tasks as a result. This all makes pretty logical sense, as people with increasingly different perspectives may proportionally struggle to understand each other. By contrast, homogeneous teams are generally much more effective at completing simple tasks or those with a clear, directed outcome where little analysis is required. Of interest, culturally aligned teams were also far more productive in repetitive roles, think factory workers and the like, which was in some cases attributed to the ability of such groups to exert peer pressure across membership. This produced desirous reinforcement of working behaviours through group expectation and universally recognised standards, which also increased group resistance to external factors causing confusion. This works both ways, however, as by the same logic, a fundamental group flaw could permeate the whole organisation and with little deviation from the accepted norm, could thus be challenging to mitigate. The principal downside of homogeneous teams, as the reader has probably already surmised, is that the quality of solutions to which problems within these groups are generally lower than those delivered by those exhibiting greater cognitive integrative complexity, despite by and large being arrived at quicker. The sweet spot. The challenge for any organization is therefore to effectively manage traditional diversity in order to exploit the opportunities it offers whilst mitigating the downsides, to find the sweet spot. In this sense, defense is D, and our model of understanding the variation we have and then ensuring that it can be integrated effectively is brilliant. However, the conflation of meanings of the word diversity is not helpful, and defense's stated outcome could therefore arguably be wrapped neatly into the term inclusion to avoid confusion and misuse. There is no doubt whatsoever that inclusion, at any level, will support the optimization of the force. At the tactical level, this included end state is of course achieved through effective leadership. Yet at the institutional level there remains an existential question. Is defense here to get simple things done under difficult circumstances, or is the complex modern world now demanding an innovative approach to everything we do? The implications of the answer to this question defines whether we should be seeking to draw in ever greater diversity, variation, not understanding, to our workforce, or seeking to align the way we behave and think to exercise maximum control in chaos and confusion. In classic Deer style, I choose the fence and suggest categorically and decisively that it's a bit of both. At the risk of being deliberately contentious, a very simplistic model could seek diversity across the officer corps and homogeneity within other ranks. So how to achieve this panacea? At one end of the spectrum, the army has traditionally sought unity. In doing so, it has exploited homogeneous cultural tropes, often artificially, yet very effectively through strong regimental identities that encourage unified behavior. That, and drill. Developing cult-like affiliation to our various cap badges or arms is both proven as a cross-cutting unifier and nothing new as a concept. But this article isn't about homogeneity. Against the backdrop of the director of the mod's conduct, equity, and justice directorate stating that their role is to identify the positive things that we can do to make defense more diverse, it is argued that defense's deliberate pursuit of diversification of the workforce is at worst fundamentally wrong, and at best poorly optimized, due in part to institutional bureaucracy, of all things. Agreeing wholeheartedly with the element of the D and I vision that seeks to deliver capability, this article suggests that if it's truly capability that we're seeking to improve, we should seek exclusively functional diversity. However, without doubt, defense's approach is to seek this diversity by selecting candidates based on visible characteristics, rather than cognitive divergence. In this sense, whilst inclusion delivers tangible benefit to capability by unlocking what you already have, focusing on visual diversification essentially suggests that people who look different think different, a gruesome assumption, which to my mind reflects the darkest exclusionary tropes of human behavior. The so-called business case for seeking additional diversity, in the pursuit of benefit, based off people's discernible features could be ethically questionable and logically debatable. Reflective representation within the armed forces, as sought in the D&I vision, does not necessarily achieve capability. The proof that defense has got this the wrong is twofold. Firstly, few roles within defense are selected on the basis of a psychological or cognitive assessment. Indeed, it is rare that such tests are even conducted, meaning that we can't hope to understand the functional opportunities within the variations that do exist within defense, diversity, in the servicial dean, an I sense, and therefore a shooting in the dark to effectively yield the well-managed end state of improving capability through inclusion. Secondly, given that studies have overwhelmingly suggest the biggest yield of highly diverse teams is in innovation and creativity, defense's poor track record of adaptability and absent ability to enact innovative ideas quickly prevents the realization of the principal benefits brought by diversity whilst continuing to endure any downsides. Just as tin soup is very difficult to exploit without a can opener, so too are the main benefits of diversity inhibited without enabling the innovation that divergent thought brings. Therefore, unshackling our institutional agility and adaptability to allow, as to respond to creative inputs would yield greater functional output from our existing diversity than simply trying to add more sealed cans of ideas to the stockpile and calling it dinner. Does our diversity equal innovation? This sentiment flies somewhat in the face of the Deputy Director of Defence Innovation, who in an internal blog in late 2023 assured us that we are good at innovation and challenged anyone to bring evidence to the contrary. The blog post concurrently provided evidence of defence's innovation through numerous examples of, mostly external, partners in the industry who delivered projects on defence's behalf. Why seek internal diversity at cost if, like carbon offsetting, we can outsource its benefits? In stark contrast to the professed principles of being inclusive towards diverse ideas, my particularly helpful comments on that article, providing the requested evidence, were mysteriously deleted. In the absence of that forum, this one must suffice. At the organizational level, the Defense Ideas Gateway, ironically including the Army's efficiency challenge, is not. Understaffed, it is. Understaffed, and therein unable to process any new ideas, meaning that institutional opportunities from the grassroots level are not being enacted. At the tactical level, innovation funding, which supposedly enables agile procurement of lower-level ideas, takes, in my case, in excess of 18 months and 83 emails, numerous phone calls, and one SME inspection to procure a £2,000 piece of equipment, with a pittance to defence, and on such a timeline impossible to deliver if the idea is had beyond the first quarter of a person's 24-month posting. In Stephen Bartlett's excellent video segment on last year's OpTeamwork, he highlighted organisations that sought to implement novel ideas the same day they were raised. I sense the incredulous sniggers and expressions of impossibility, naivety and ridicule from the associated readership that have made it thus far, but suggest in parting that for all the years that defence has looked to business for best practice, such agility is not only possible, but the greatest thing that we could learn to unseal the tins of our diverse potential. After all, it is not the strongest of the species that survives, nor the most intelligent. It is the one that is most adaptable to change. Soup, anyone.